This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello.
And Bridget, we're into the new year now.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
And a couple of programs back, we gave people a list, and the list kept getting longer and longer.
Yeah, it did.
of New Year's resolutions. I wonder how many you have broken yet or how many you haven't implemented yet. And just to review those, we were asking people to make a resolution to listen more to Catholic Radio in the new year, to tell at least a couple hundred thousand of your closest friends about Catholic Radio in the new year, and then also a couple, maybe a little more practical than that one, to, if you shop at Kroger and have a Kroger reward card, to register your Kroger card, just go to our website, catholicradioindy.org, and click on the Kroger logo. Then you register your card and select Catholic Radio Indy as your charity. And then every time you shop, doesn't matter whether it's a can of beans, a gallon of ice cream, whatever it is, Catholic Radio gets a small percentage of whatever you purchase. So you don't have to mention it at the store. You don't have to present a card. You just shop to your heart's content, and we get a small portion of that. So that's one of the New Year's resolutions. Another one was if you shop online and use Amazon, try Amazon Smile or smile.amazon. Either way, they're going to ask you what charity you want to support. Again, use Catholic Radio Indy, all three words, Catholic Radio Indy, I-N-D-Y, and you just do that one time. Just do that one time. Then you forget all about it. You never have to worry about it again. Every time you buy anything on Amazon, Catholic Radio gets a small percentage of it as well. And if we all do that, well, it all adds up. And you had one other thing.
Yeah, my New Year's resolution for our audience is to think about joining our Facebook page. If you're already on Facebook, go to the Catholic Radio Indy Facebook page and like us, and then you can get all of what's happening here at Catholic Radio, that what we're putting out in social media. So that's one way to stay in touch with us and get our podcasts and all that kind of stuff. So if you haven't done that, you can add that to your New Year's resolution list. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We are going to be talking about the topic of the Safe Haven Baby Boxes with the founder and CEO of Safe Haven Baby Boxes here in Indiana, Monica Kelsey. So welcome to Faith in Action, Monica.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. We really appreciate it.
And Monica, where are you based out of? We're actually doing this interview via phone, but where do you normally reside, or where are you based out of?
Well, I'm based out of Woodburn, Indiana. My husband is the mayor of our city. And it's just east of Fort Wayne, about 15 miles.
Okay. Now, tell our listeners what a Safe Haven Baby Box is. What is that, and where and when do they come about?
Well, you know, the Safe Haven law has been around for the last 20 years, where a woman can walk into any fire station, police station, or hospital and surrender a child, no questions asked, a newborn, usually 30 days or less, that's unharmed. And to date, we've saved about 4,000 babies that way. But we've it's just an amazing number in the last 20 years. But when you look at that number, you also have to look at the mothers that didn't place their child in the arms of a firefighter, and that number is right about 2,000. So we still have a lot of work to do. So back in 2013, I was actually in South Africa, and I seen a baby safe in a wall. I was speaking there on a speaking tour. And I was so intrigued by it, I came back to the United States. I'm like, why is this not in the United States? Why is this not here?
Mm-hmm.
And so I did some research, and I found that a lot of these babies that are being dumped, and when I say dumped, I mean trash cans, dumpsters, or just left in unsafe places. A lot of these babies that were being dumped were being left at the doors of safe haven locations, like the doors of fire stations and hospitals. So I designed a box that is electronically monitored. It's heated, it's cool, it's got ventilation on the inside, and it alarms emergency personnel within 30 seconds that there is a object in the box or a baby in the box. And these boxes go in fire stations and hospitals, and they basically allow a mother to walk up to them, place their child in the box, shut the door, and walk away and receive 100% anonymity. That means no one's going to see them. There is no cameras. that child is safe, secure, and warm. And the average time our babies are in our boxes are right about 2 minutes. So it's really, really quick. It's really, really fast. But the biggest thing for these moms is the anonymity, and that's what these boxes give them.
Right. We're talking with Monica Kelsey, founder and CEO of the Safe Haven Baby Boxes organization. Now, if under the previous under the Safe Haven law, before the baby boxes, a woman would really have to almost have a face-to-face encounter with somebody, whether it was at the firehouse or whether it was at the hospital, and that could really be a deterrent for a woman who really wants to remain anonymous. First of all, that's a tough decision to make, but talk about that.
You know, it's really a tough decision to make for any mother to basically say, I want what's best for my child and it's not me. Mm-hmm. And to walk into a firehouse, they would have to hand the child to a firefighter, and more than likely that firefighter is going to ask him some questions.
Yep.
And some of these moms don't want to answer those questions, and they already feel shame. They already feel like they're being judged. And so this box allows to do the right thing, to continue to do the right thing with 100% anonymity. You know, when I speak nationally and internationally, when I stand and I talk, I say, you know, I am a firefighter. So that is by trade. I'm a firefighter and a medic, and my husband is the mayor of our city. If a woman brought me a child today at my fire station, chances are I know her. Mm-hmm. I know her brothers and sisters, and I probably know her parents.
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to trust that I'm not going to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the Safe Haven law, yes, it's confidential, but you still have to look someone in the eye. And that box takes that away, and it allows this newborn to be safe and secure, and this mother's life to go on without a lifetime of guilt for doing something that she will regret.
Right. So let me ask you this. How many baby Safe Haven Safe Haven baby boxes are there in Indiana? And how many are there throughout the United States? Do you have those numbers?
Currently we have 25 boxes across the country. And I believe 19 of those boxes are in the state of Indiana. You know, Indiana's had such a great response to these boxes. Women are trusting us. Just in the year 2019, we had 9 babies in the state of Indiana surrendered under the Safe Haven law. And some of these locations didn't have baby boxes. So we helped these moms or these dads, in a couple of cases, walk into Safe Haven locations and give them exactly what they needed to do, and then allow them to walk out, no questions asked. And then, of course, you know, we did have babies in our boxes in 2019 as well. So that's huge. You know, that's huge when you look at one state and the difference that Indiana is making.
Mm-hmm. Did you find that the state legislature had to become involved? Were there laws that had to be changed or new laws that had to be written to, you know, for liability and all of the things that go along with something like this?
Yeah, you know, we wanted to make sure that we were within the realm of the law, and we did have to pass, I believe, 3 total bills in the state of Indiana to allow these boxes to be installed at fire stations and hospitals. And currently we're in 5 other states. We've got 5 more states that are working on legislation. I see these boxes being nationwide, and I see these boxes being in every city in America, you know, allowing women who want that anonymity piece to be able to use them. So we do have a lot of work to do, but you know, state legislators are seeing what Indiana is doing and they're getting behind it.
Now, the question I have is how well known is this? I mean, do you have a gauge on the awareness of, you know, in Indiana and versus maybe in other states or even nationally? Do you have a kind of a sense of how well known or where the awareness is at?
You know, when I first started this, no one could recite the Safe Haven law. It was crazy when I would go into these locations in high schools and stuff. We're in high schools, we're in colleges, we're in first responder fire stations and hospitals every week. And I was just at the National Catholic Youth Conference down in Indianapolis
in
November.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you what, I was so, my heart was just so full because, you know, the kids that would come by our booth, I would ask them, hey, you know, if you can tell me the Safe Haven law, I'll give you a free t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Every Indiana kid got a free t-shirt. Everyone in Indiana knew the law and knew the baby boxes. It was so awesome. You know, and then I would get to, like, Minnesota or California kids. And they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Mm.
You know, so Indiana, we've got it dialed in. You know, we've got billboards, we're in schools, we're in colleges and stuff like that. Other states, we're really working hard to get, you know, the local communities to really pick up where we're not at. And so we are seeing some traction, but we have a lot of work to do.
Now, you mentioned, or we had talked before we got started here, that you do actually use volunteers. So talk about how people can volunteer for your organization.
Well, there's so many things that you can do. I mean, we have volunteers on our hotline. We have volunteers that help us with our gala, you know, our fundraisers. And then we also have volunteers that go into the schools and educate our youth. You know, if a kid in our high school, you know, a sophomore or junior, doesn't know the law, they're not going to use the law. So we have to make sure that these kids get the information at a time when they need it most. And high school is a great time for that. The majority of the kids that we find, or the majority of the people who abandon their child, are between the ages of 18 and 24. That's the majority.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can get them in high school, then we have conquered quite a bit. But yeah, we always are always looking for volunteers, especially going into college health classes. We always look for college kids that want a little bit more of the public speaking, because you would be in front of a class of, you know, 30 to 60 kids talking about a law that's been around, you know, for how many years and the great things that it's accomplishing. So yeah, we always need volunteers.
So if you are, so really you can pretty much be any age to volunteer. Is that correct? So you want young people and you want older people too that can maybe go into the high school. So in the high school setting or even in the college setting, it could be a mentor, like a peer-to-peer, so a young person to a young person, or it could be like more of a teacher student kind of relationship in terms of the teaching of, you know, the awareness. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, you know, we had a, you know, our fundraisers, of course, we look for tons of volunteers, and one of our youngest volunteers, her name was Atea Kaiser, and she was 14 years old. She was killed tragically in a car accident last October. And what we did with, because she loved Safe Haven Baby Boxes, she loved education, she was a 4.0 student, so what we did was we made a scholarship in her name. And so the scholarship now is twice a year. We gave $5,000 away last year in scholarships in Atea's name. But this is another way for volunteers or, you know, college kids or high school kids that are going into college that want to make a little bit of money to help with their college education can also spread awareness and education into the schools, because we have them do a project on the Safe Haven Law. And we pick a winner, and then, of course, that winner wins money towards their college. So we're always looking at ways of advancing the education, looking for more volunteers, and doing more for the community to make sure that everyone knows what the Safe Haven Law is.
So we're going to take a break here shortly, but before we do, could you go ahead and give a web page if someone was listening here in the first half of the show and they wanted to volunteer? How would they do that?
They can go to shbb.org. And just go to the Contact Us page and send us an email letting us know what you'd like to help with, and someone will get back with you, and we would love to help.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back talk more with Monica about the Safe Haven Baby Boxes. Stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Think of all the media our young people are exposed to today. MTV, movies, what passes for entertainment on TV, song lyrics that are questionable or worse. Where do they hear the message that it's okay to be chaste and modest, or that it's not crazy to practice their faith, or to believe in a God who loves them and can forgive them no matter what they do? Catholic Radio is the answer. Be sure to tell your friends and relatives about Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you been married and have since divorced? Do you think your marital status prevents you from coming to church? Most Catholics and non-Catholics unfortunately have a lot of misconceptions about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Pope Francis has recently encouraged all people with questions about marriage to make an appointment and talk with their parish priest. As Catholic priests, we look forward to the opportunity to help you on your journey through life. Please make an appointment to speak with the priest today. We are and will always be here for you.
Just a reminder that Catholic Radio is listener-supported. If you haven't joined our family of donors yet, you can do so online at catholicradiond.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on
Welcome
Catholic
back to Faith
Radio
in Action.
Indy.
I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley is in the studio with me, and we are talking with Monica Kelsey. She is the founder and CEO of the Safe Haven Baby Boxes, which is a baby box to save an unwanted child, and a mother can give that child up anonymously into a safe box. Okay, so you have an event coming up. Monica, tell us about that.
Yes, you know, our fundraising is huge for us because we don't get any state or federal dollars. And so we always look at ways that we can, one, spread our message, and two, also raise funds. And this year, our keynote speaker for our April 8th gala is Willie Robertson from Duck Dynasty. And we chose Willie because he is so involved with adoption in this country. He's adopted three kids that are now his own.
Mm-hmm.
And so our gala is Adoption Unleashes Possibility. And so we're having some of the babies that have been placed in our boxes, we're reuniting them with the firefighters that pulled them from the boxes. You know, one of the things as a firefighter is, you know, you go on a scene or you have a call, you never know what happens to that patient after that.
Mm-hmm.
And so these babies really make an impact on these firefighters' lives. So we are going to be reuniting some of them with the firefighters that got to love on them and be just a small part of their process. But it's April 8th. It's in Fort Wayne, Indiana at the Grand Wayne Center. And we would love to have anyone join us and see our hearts and our mission.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up. Now, you also had some other kind of recent news that was exciting. You have a new baby box that just opened, right? Was there like a ribbon cutting? Do you do a ribbon cutting for a new baby box? Is that what you do?
We call them blessings. We have them bless the box.
Okay.
And, so we call them the blessing of the box.
Oh.
And yes,
I like
we
it.
Did. We just opened Frankfurt baby box, and it was quite the day, because the day that we blessed that box, we also had a baby in a box in another town placed the night before.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty extra special for us. Crown Point Fire Department is just north of Frankfurt, about an hour and a half, and that box was actually installed and blessed 34 days before that little princess showed up in that box. So that was a pretty amazing day to bless the box and also do then a press conference on the fact that another one of our boxes was used by a mother who felt that this was her only option.
Now, is there some kind of a, is there like a target place or locations where you probably have a map of Indiana and say, these are the areas that are needed, or how do you determine where a box is needed, and is it more needed in the rural areas or in the city, or how does that work, Monica?
We look at where abandonments are happening.
Okay.
That's where our focus is where has an abandonment happened in the past? And one of the things that we knew was that Northwest Indiana was horrible for infant abandonment.
Mm.
And it has really, I mean, since we started installing boxes up there, we've had four babies in boxes just in the last 18 months. But the great thing is that area has not had an abandonment or a dead baby, you know, found since we launched up there. And that's what we look at. But, you know, cities around the country, I believe that if a mother wants anonymity, we need to make it available for her. And so, you know, every major city should have one at least on the outskirts of the city. I'm not a fan of putting them, like, in the dead center of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Because women will travel. We do know that women will travel. We had one of our babies in our boxes in Hammond, Indiana, back in September. We actually helped a mom come from the state of Illinois. She was coming from Chicago to remain anonymous because Chicago doesn't have baby boxes yet. And so she wanted to remain anonymous and keep her child safe at the same time. And so she drove the distance from Chicago to Hammond to place her child in one of our boxes. So, you know, if we can get them in locations that are around big cities so that women don't have to drive, I think we're going to see a lot more surrenders and a lot less abandonments in this country.
Now, Monica, what is the What happens to the baby? The baby is placed in the box and you say taken out within a matter of a few minutes, and eventually, hopefully, it'll end up in an adoptive home. But what about in the meantime? Where does the baby go? Who takes care of the baby?
Well, in the state of Indiana, actually, it's a pretty quick process. When Governor Pence, now Vice President Pence, when he was here, he made it a little bit easier for babies to become adopted under the Safe Haven law. And so babies are placed with foster families for about 30 days. And then during that 30 days, the termination of parental rights for the parents starts. And the Department of Child Services then starts interviewing parents to be the adoptive parents. Every one of our babies that have been placed in our box have been with a set of adoptive parents within 30 days. So it's a very quick, and I would like to see that number come down to, a set of adoptive parents actually takes the child home from the hospital, because I think these babies need to bond with mm-hmm. their new families. But, it's a process, and we're chipping away at it. 30 days is a lot better than it used to be, which was 6 months.
Mm.
So we're making some headway. We're making some headway.
So now here's a question. I'm guessing that these babies do they have to be newborn, or is there a certain age limit, or you understand my question?
Yeah, we have under the state statute, so uh-huh. the law in Indiana says that a child 30 days or less.
Okay.
So cannot be more than 30 days. But, if a woman walked into my fire station today with a 3-month-old and she was in crisis, I would take the child. Only because there's so many resources for her, and if I hand that child back to her and send her away, that child's probably going to end up abused or dead. And so, intervening would be, it wouldn't be under the Safe Haven law,
mm-hmm.
but it would be something that we could work with this mom to get her the resources that she needs. But the statute says 30 days.
Okay. So how much does one of these baby boxes cost, and how are you funded? You did mention you pretty much do your own fundraising. Is that correct? You don't get any state or federal money?
No, we don't get any state or federal money. Everything that we raise is by donations and fundraising. So, of course, we do a ton of fundraising. For a location to do the baby box program, it's $10,000 up front and $200 a year. The $10,000 up front covers the box, the signs, the training. And it's a lease program is what it is. We don't want these fire stations in 5 years to have a box that's obsolete,
mm-hmm.
that the electronics are outdated in. And so doing the lease program, we decided that we would charge a little bit more up front to maintain that box over the years. The locations can have these boxes for 10, 20 years, however long they want to have it, and we're going to maintain it. So for every year, they pay the $200 recertification fee. If the box breaks, we fix it. If it needs new electronics or updated electronics, we do that. Anytime we make adjustments to our boxes or change something, we automatically do it for each location. It doesn't cost the fire department or the hospital anything. So in the long run, I think we're going to lose a lot of money, doing it this way. But mm-hmm. I did not want a fire department to be responsible for a box that they're going to have to replace in 5 years because it's outdated. And I wanted these newborns to be as safe as possible.
Now, you mentioned the cost of a box. And as you were saying that, it struck me as kind of ironic that the government doesn't or won't pay for any baby boxes. However, that very same government requires abortions to be made available, and a lot of times at taxpayers' expense. On one hand, they'll spend lots of money to see that everybody can have an abortion that wants one, but they don't spend any money to save one. And if you had a baby box, more baby boxes, there would be lots more babies saved.
Well, and that's a great point that you bring up, and I talk about this a lot when I speak. I believe that we are fighting this fight, and I believe one day we will see the end to abortion in our country, whether it be by overturning Roe v. Wade and the states overturning it, or if we restrict it to the point where it's not available anymore. And once that happens, these baby boxes are going to be pivotal at that point, because what we haven't done is we haven't changed the culture. These women are still having sex. Women are still getting pregnant. They're still being promiscuous. And some of these women will hide their pregnancy all the way to term, give birth, and then completely just lose it and do something rash with their child. Well, now they don't have to do something rash with this newborn child. They can place that child in a safe place, walk away, and no one will know that they were even pregnant. You know, right now they can go down to the local Planned Parenthood, kill their child, and nobody knows it.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going to happen when that's taken away and we haven't changed the culture? So I think that these boxes are pivotal for such a time as this.
That's a great point, Monica. Now, we only have about 2 minutes left, but you started this how many years ago? And looking back, what kind of an impact has it had on you, I guess? And are you surprised by anything?
You know, I started this organization back in 2013, and it was because of my own beginnings of being abandoned as an infant 2 hours after I was born. My birth mother abandoned me. And, you know, I just wanted to save a few babies in Indiana, and I thought that I was following Christ's path with just, you know, working on Indiana, and here we are now in 5 states. So I'm constantly blessed. I'm constantly amazed at God's grace and his purpose in my life, and I'm just so blessed that he chose me for this role. So we have much work to do, but God will give us the tools to do it.
Well, you have certainly been an inspiration to us here at Catholic Radio Indy, and we wish you much success and blessing in the new year. If people want to either volunteer or find out about the fundraiser gala coming up on April 8th or get involved, can you give us your webpage again and how they would get connected to you?
Absolutely. So they go to shbb.org, and that's just SHBB, it's Safe Haven Baby Boxes, but shbb.org. They can go to contact us or go to resources, and you can look at all the fundraisers that we do. We would love to have you there. We would love to see you, you know, support our mission and support our ministry and help these moms and babies make good choices.
And people can people make donations there as well online?
Absolutely.
Or volunteer, right?
Or volunteer, yep. Or find any information about our program. They can read more about my life and my birth mother. You know, I met my birth mother. And so they can read so many things on there and just kind of see what our heart is and see what our ministry is all about.
And there's also new online courses that you're offering for training people, too. Is that true?
Yep, that is correct. Yep, they just need to get a hold of us, and we'll get them in the portal.
All right. Well, Monica Kelsey, founder and CEO of the Safe Haven Baby Boxes, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you guys so much for having me. God bless you guys.
God bless you, Monica.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.